$350
Ron, you're going to just go to work.
Go to Shields.
Ron.
The price match on the guns.
At 8:45 on the clock, we will call to order the Board of Supervisors meeting for Wednesday, December 6, 2017. We will start out by reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation, Jurgens Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. Consent agenda. One is the general agenda. Two is approved minutes of the meeting held November 22nd, 2017. Three, approve all claims through December 6, 2017 in the amount of $487,435.35. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Gage District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of November 2017. Approve Utility Permit Number 1081 to Windstream, Nebraska, Inc. Will be boring 1.25-inch diameter times 66-foot long, 5-foot below bottom of ditch and under county road to run new cable to restore service to 3427 West Hickory Road, located in the Northeast 4th, Section 17 and Southeast 4th. Section 8, Township 4 North, Range 6 East, Midland. Entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers, seconded by Tiemann. Vote. 7-0 in favor. Regular agenda. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Buildings and grounds, Winter Lights.
Okay, Dave has a couple things.
Good morning. I don't have anything new, just to recap. The cameras are going to get installed starting this week. They had them at their shop, and they put the IP addresses and all that on them first. So when they do come here, everything should be ready to just switch over to a new system. And other than that, we're getting ready for winter, and just a few minor things have been breaking. Our handicap door opener, there's a motor on that. That was an expensive motor. We had to replace that. And I was talking to Mr. Byers this morning about we had talked 2 weeks ago about just getting some estimates on what it would cost to redo our ramp. That concrete is 17 years old now, and it's getting pretty soft, so it looks like we'll have to be replacing that someday. It's nothing immediate, but something to look at. That's all I have for now.
And you might notice that every night Dave gets all lit up with all the lights in the courthouse. He's all lit up every night. But they look beautiful. I'm getting tremendous comments again this year, Dave.
Great. We have trouble with just that southeast tree. There's a relay on our timer that is not working, so at 1 o'clock in the morning, half the tree goes off, but the other half stays on until the morning. So we had to order some new relays, and we'll get that fixed. So.
And you notice he notices that at 1
o'clock. At 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, yeah, I was going to tell you at that time. So.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
Equalization.
Nothing.
Human, no, finance or insurance.
Wasn't here, as Mr. Jurgens will. Basically, we had a light load this last 2 weeks. Dawson County Sheriff, boarding inmate, $17,595. Department of Correctional Services, safekeeper billing, inmate medical, $15,497. And of course, Beatrix Concrete, sand and gravel. Gravel, $32,006. I don't know where we're sitting, but we'll talk. Galen has some other things we'll talk about. So.
And also during finance, though, we had Nicole Stoner with the extension office was in here a little bit, so we got to visit with her. And probably the main thing was they're having some issues with mice or whatever out there, so they're looking at getting a company out there to, they've got a bid and stuff to work at sealing the place up a little better and getting rid of the mice. So
I said the simple solution, buy two cats, but they didn't like that idea.
Little square thing.
and by Matt's look, you can tell it's been going on for a little while, but they are trying to help solve the issue, you know, and stuff. So, but they are working on that. We had a real good visit with her. Glad to see her here, and glad to talk about some other things out there, extension office too. So that worked out real well and stuff. So
it doesn't go very well. The extension office don't know how to get rid of mice.
Yeah, well.
It's actually nice.
Have Paul write a column on that.
Have Paul write a column, yeah. Well, part of it is, I guess, it over the years there hasn't been a lot of maintenance done on the outside. And the guy, she's had two different people in there, and when they've inspected it, there's a lot of places that they can get in from the outside. So yeah. So they're working at that and sealing that up. And
the other issue, Myron, is that it's located so close to the booth feed there, that's just a haven for
and open fields,
and yeah, and in the fall, field mice will come in. Period. Yep. They just you think you're sealed up good, and they'll come in. Yeah,
yeah.
It's mainly it's just so close to Southeast Community College.
There too, yeah.
Yeah.
So no, they are working on it, and she had a bid proposal for that, and then continued effort. So.
Yep.
Human Resource Employee Relations. John, anything?
Nothing.
Nope. We were... Oh, Law Enforcement Emergency Management.
Population in the jail was down to start the week. I haven't heard from Gus if it's up, back up or not. But for once, we were down to, 34, I think you said, on Monday? Yeah, so that's a good revelation. The other thing, Lisa, are you prepared to discuss what you handed us this morning?
Only information that I know to date that I handed out.
Yeah.
Why don't you though? This is the tower in Wymore and stuff. We got Carla sent up some stuff, so let's have a little discussion about it. We've discussed it a lot over the years, and it's.
You'll have to bring me up to speed on that because I'm trying to go back and do a little research and find inspections and that sort of thing. But it appears from the email which I handed you guys everything that. There was some storm damage back there in June. They lost a bracket, and then the lights were damaged through the June storm. So the lights, my understanding, have not been operating. So the procedure is that the FAA, you can file just a report, and it's good for 2 months at a time. So you do it every 2 months. So the Southeast Region Carla is taking care of in terms of filing those reports. So it appears that right now we provided them with an analysis on the structure itself, but that analysis, which was done back in 2014, didn't do the analysis on the structure, the concrete, the foundation portion of it. So at that time, that analysis, and I think you can kind of look through that, I actually included that, just their mainstay, they just said at that particular time that it wasn't safe and not able to feel safe about climbing it based upon the foundation issue, or they didn't pass. Excuse me, they didn't pass.
They didn't check them.
Yeah,
they never looked at
the analysis. Is based on tower sections having the same member sizes. A full tower climb and mapping was not performed due to the unsafe conditions because of the aging condition of the tower. If you kind of read in that report on page 2.
That was on the analysis, which they never did.
Okay,
they never did an analysis, and since then. We had somebody say it was all right to, it was going to be okay. They went up, put new lights on. Now, amazingly, when these lights are under warranty and they need replaced, or were these damaged by?
They were damaged by the storm in June.
Like something blew up there and hit them, or they just stopped working in the storm?
That I do not know, Eric. I do not know.
I'd say it looks awful suspicious. Now that they're warrantied, they could climb it to go put the new lights on, but now that they have to fix them, they can't climb them now.
I apologize. I am not into the research work here enough to know.
Carla just sent this out yesterday.
Yeah.
And stuff, finding this out. So we'll try and get Doug down here maybe at our committee meeting or next board meeting and he can bring us up to date more on findings.
This is the study that the state commissioned, right?
2014 is that particular study that was done.
Somewhere in your office, and we don't know where, of course, but Tim had another study done because we asked for another opinion.
Okay.
They reevaluated it because these people that the state hired never did an analysis on it. They stood on the ground and looked at it.
Okay.
After we had the other study done, turns out that it might be okay. It needed a little bit of re-guying and things like that. As far as I remember, the footings were never looked at all.
We had a proposal from a company out of Kentucky or Tennessee for, what, $90,000 plus or something to bring it up to date or something?
I think it was the attachment points of the guys. It went to a new attachment method that's the more modern method.
Yeah.
It may be fine yet, but as regulations change over time, when they redo it, they'd have to do it in a different method.
But if we can get Doug down,
sure.
One of the two times you visit with Carla, and Carla is able to get a hold of him, and at our next committee meeting or board meeting, whatever, and then he can bring us up to date more on.
You still have the option of placing the equipment on the NRD tower, so that is still an option, and I think that's what, according to Carla's note, that's what they're researching right now. So
okay. We'll have to repair the lights still, right?
That's either that or you pull the whole tower down and get, you know, if you're done with it, then you pull it down. And that would.
No, Jurgens already volunteered to take it down.
So. Hey, you know what? We've got a tower removal specialist coming in here in about an hour.
Maybe it's to the point. I mean.
Who's that, Leonard?
Anyway.
The other one.
Oh. Okay, well, I'll ask for some guidance later, but yeah. Obviously if it's not going to be non-functional, then...
But currently today...
It's still working.
The radios and everything are still up there, and they're still working, yes.
They'll be climbing it to fix the lights.
Yeah. Yep. It's the lights, and...
Yes.
And does Carla feel we'll have the coverage we need off the NRD tower?
At this particular time, she does, according to this email. I've not talked to her since yesterday morning, though, so... But
do you have any idea how much that'll cost to move everything over there?
I'm too new into the system. I mean, I'll... Yeah.
Hopefully by their next meeting, Carla will have some information, too, for us and stuff. And if Doug comes, that's who's going to transfer it anyway, so he'll be having maybe an estimate, too, and stuff. So, yeah.
We haven't heard about this tower for a little while. That was...
It's been nice.
All for a dollar. Okay. All right.
Thank you for coming, Lisa.
You have a relation to Sheriff's Office to you?
That's all for... Unless you got something more, that was it for law enforcement emergency management.
Don't remember.
I think there's...
Supervisor.
Gus visited a little bit about Weimar. Gus did, and the possibility of working with them because of them being short staff or the county helping out. We were supposed to have a meeting last night there again, and Gus got a call yesterday morning that the mayor was in the hospital. So that didn't take place either. So, yeah. So I'll bring you up to date on that. So we haven't met with Weimar yet. Hopefully in the near future we'll see what works or when we can coordinate something with them again, have a meeting. So. Anything else for law enforcement? If not, road and bridge, Terry.
Of course, shouldering being done. Weather's been real good for that. The main thing that I like to bring up is there's been several locations turned in with that state match program again this year. We received one last year. Galen is a lot more versed on that, where we're at and what we're doing with that, so I'd like to have Galen talk about that, if he would, please.
Approximately 2 months ago, NDOT opened up what they call round two of the bridge match program. We are to have in our projects by December 1st that we'd like to have them look at and hopefully award us all of the projects. Gage County had five projects total that we submitted to them. One was a bridge replacement with a bridge. Two of them are replacing truss bridges with box culverts. and two of the projects are metal pipe replacing old timber bridges on that. They are going to award the projects that are selected January 12th of 2018. Gage County is going to be a lead county for a box culvert with the Gage, Oto, Nemaha, and Pawnee County. Also on the bridge that we're going to be replaced for a bridge, we turn that in just under Gage County. Also, we're under for another box culvert. Pawnee County is a lead county for a box culvert for Pawnee County, Gage County, and Johnson County. And then for our two metal pipe projects, Johnson County is a lead county for the metal pipe for Johnson, Gage, and Pawnee County. So hopefully out of these five projects we submitted, we're hoping to get several of them instead of just one, but time will tell on that. So,
Manelli, have any idea, or he probably don't know either, if they're looking at doing more this time?
He never really said. One reason we kind of, Mark, kind of broke this up with and put it into some other counties as lead counties instead of Gage County just submitting all five projects by itself. He was hoping by doing this that they'd take a wider look at it since we're bundling projects with other counties and vice versa. So hopefully this will help us get more than one project. But
yeah, are those the total costs, and we're just the share of that, or is that our share?
That's the estimated total cost.
Total, okay. So our share would be a fraction of that, a third or so.
Well, the state was 55% of the total is what they go by, and then we get 70% and then 30% of that 55% that's awarded for a project. So, okay.
Up to a cap, though. They had a
up
cap.
To $150,000 yeah, per project.
Per project, yeah. Yes. So, which
I had forgotten exactly how we cut that up, but I knew it was substantially less than what the total project cost.
Because the one with that truss bridge there by Holmesville, that's a big enough project. If that was awarded, they would only cover up to that $150,000.
Yes.
That was almost a $400,000 estimate on that. So.
Any other questions?
Galen, just curious if you know for sure or not where we're at with township allocations.
Yeah, they're working on their last township. I believe it's Glenwood Township. So the guys had an email from Ron that he needed that flag, and I believe it's like the first part of the week. So
how come my township's the last one to get done?
We go in order as they're submitted. Okay.
No, that's all I can tell you.
You're chairman of Road and Bridge. That might be a misappropriation of funds if you were first all the time.
Terry? There's a bunch of excess gravel on two miles of stretch on Blakely Township that I'll gladly let you have. No. Yeah, the washboards are getting to be so terrible on those 2 miles that you can have that extra gravel.
No.
Rain.
No, don't take that.
Rain.
Leave that.
We need some moisture.
I do have I'm trying to get the picture sent back to me again, but Kent Zimmerman sent me a picture about South 66. There's looks like the concrete's, I don't know if it's where that hump was or it was milled down. It's like down, like into the. I'm waiting for a picture to come across. It's like there's a break up there. Has anyone else seen that? I got that last week.
On the north end.
Right where, there, where by Gary's place,
where it meets the pavement.
Yeah, I think it looks like because I think we milled that because there was a hump or something there when that first got done. I think that's
well. We did some asphalt work in there to bring it up the approach.
Okay. Well, when he bounces that back to me, I'll get that. I don't know. It's deleted, but he'll
tell him we know our speed bump's working. If they need another one, we can install a second one out there somewhere.
Right. So he sent me that. So
I'll take a look at it.
I'll show it to you when it comes across.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else for Road and Bridge?
How are those roads looking, Terry?
Really good. Except for Gary's. Basically, that's all we need to talk about.
Road and Bridge. Unless you've got
something. No, I don't have anything. No, we can get a hold of that owner who put up the speed limit sign, get that taken care of.
Oh, I went up there yesterday, then I also tried to call him yesterday.
Who was it?
Somebody up north.
I'll get you a number of the boy. I got the boy's number up there by Adams.
Yes.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'll comment on there, we got it on there, and Galen talked a little bit about Sargent Road up here. We've had a lot of conversation about that lately and the speed limits on there and everything. And we did the traffic study, and if you guys need that or whatever, Galen's got all the information for that too, the traffic study and the volume of traffic on there. And then we referred that up to Minnelli's office, and based on the guidelines that the state has, the speed limit should be set at 50 miles an hour, and that's what it currently is up there, even though there are, what, a 35-mile-an-hour sign in the one area on the east end, but that might be coming down because that's we have no record of where that came from or why that was put up. But that according to Mark Minnelli and his office, that according to all the data that they have, that the speed limit for that should be 50 miles an hour, and that's where it's going to be left at then, based on their recommendation.
And I can confirm that them roads can handle 50 miles an hour just fine.
You can.
Hey, Myron, the other thing is, I think Eric had some conversation with city officials about annexation of two parcels of road within the city limits. I believe they are. Maybe they're not. But they're close.
But you were going to visit with them.
They're interested. They're not in the city limits, but they're in the zoning halo,
yeah.
Of course.
It would be the road we're just talking about now, Sargent Street, going east. The city has part of that. The county has part of it. And Eric's talked about it. I think there'll be some further discussion on that. And probably the other road is then
Belvedere
Road. They're the same thing. Township has part of that one. City has the other part on the same location. We're just talking about three blocks, you know, and it takes longer to turn around than to grade it. So Galen had said, yeah, he would be in favor of doing something like that, and it would be much more efficient. Let's put it that way.
Well, and then the other one was 19th and Dorsey. Galen has visited with the city about that, and they're coming up with some thoughts or ideas there. So about possibilities of what they would do there or whatever and stuff. So, and I did drive out by there, and I didn't realize that many people parked on the east side out there.
Yeah. Yep.
On the east side. But basically, they don't have anything in front of their house to park on, though, except their driveway. Yeah. So, you know, there's a...
One of the options, though, the city said, if they needed to, that would all be removed. All that parking there for them.
From the east side, yeah, mm-hmm. And stuff. So the city, we're in contact with them and keep visiting with them, and the city's working on some options that they would have out there.
Who developed those homes back in the day that put them so close to the road? who built those? What developer was that?
You probably remember. I wasn't around.
Was that you, Dave? Myron, did they discuss maybe just taking the parking farther away from the corner and then angle parking to get more vehicles?
On the east side, and I don't remember how far they were going to – one of their options is putting up no parking signs and so far to the south. And I don't – you said a street, and I don't remember. They're so far south.
Carlisle.
And then Carlisle. And then they could park again.
But if you pull up there coming from the west – The blockage to be able to see south is on the west side. It's the people parked on the west side that aren't just in their driveways. The east side, you can see.
Yeah.
It's not so you take off the east side, it's not going to help you a bit.
But if you set up angle parking on the east side, that would take some of them, maybe take the vehicles off the west side, and they'd be able to put them on the east side then.
What's that called, a secondary arterial?
Jim Teeman exception.
Something like that. That's one of the, basically the...
Like a snow route, you mean, or something?
No, it's one of the, it's not a highway route, but it's basically the next thing to a route like that through town would be Dorsey and 19th Street. I think at some point in time that was supposed to be potentially added on to the east or made a little bit wider because that's never been curbed or anything.
No.
Right. Which... That route, I mean, I know people don't like the truck traffic, but that's why you have trucks running down Dorsey Street and then down 19th Street. It's the next route versus Highway 77 and Court.
Well, yeah, instead of coming through downtown, a lot of them will come, they'll turn and come north that way and then kind of to the west here and stuff.
So those
they
roads
bypass
are
that.
Paved thicker, they're heavier roads for more traffic. So I know people don't like that, but that is what they're designed for.
How'd they get that developed without curb and gutter? That'll put a roundabout in there.
Roundabout.
Stop it.
But I agree.
Did I hear Tobias?
Yeah. Eric, when you visit with him, make sure you visit, make that comment that one of our council.
No, absolutely do not.
I'm in favor of roundabouts. I love those things.
Oh, they're fun.
Yeah, but you get stuck on there and drive in circles.
No, Myron, I'll say, in contrary to what everybody else has said, I use that intersection a ton. I've never had a close call. I've never had an issue. It's really a pretty wide open intersection, quite honestly. I need to call Dave and talk to him, but yeah. I've never had an issue at that intersection.
We did at one time. We had more of an issue, I think, going north there with the trees on that grass. And David, with that landowner a couple of years ago, maybe a year or 2 years ago, and they took care of a lot of that. That was, at that time, that was a lot more of a concern, because you almost had to get your nose out in the road to see north if you were going. Yeah,
yeah, and those vehicles are coming
pretty fast.
And there's still a little bit there, but if you get a hold of Mary and you get a hold of the Weston family, they'll cut that back.
Yeah. I think it probably needs to be done again.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe trimmed again.
I'll echo Gary, though. I use that almost every day as a route taking my son to school. I can see every direction.
Well, why don't we get that citizen up by Adams to come down and make it a four-way stop? He can start putting some signs
yeah,
in.
Yeah, right.
That'll
there you
solve
go.
It.
No.
Yeah. We only have two votes for that, Matt.
Okay.
We only have two votes, so we don't have enough votes. Okay. Good enough. On to, not quite. We've got time to vote at 9:15. It's still 9:12 here on the clock.
Ms. Lyons is here if you want her to run through that grant thing.
We got a time to vent at 9:15. I got 9:12 on the clock, so if you can do it in 3 minutes.
Probably can't.
Well, wait. We'll just wait, because a 9:15 time to vent won't take that long. We're just opening some bids on a deal. So, yeah.
I have faith in her.
Although we don't have anything else really on the agenda either.
I just told her.
No, we don't. We're just going to have to wait. You're the only other one on the agenda that's not a timed event. So, anything else for Road and Bridge, Terry?
No.
Okay, believe. And the snow plows are on, right? Because that's why we haven't had snow. So.
Snow late this afternoon.
Channel 10 had that in a normal year. By now we've had 3.5 inches of snow, and this year we haven't had any. So last night they were going through what?
Moisture, have we?
And what, Myron, the next week or two.
There's none coming. They're not supposed to.
I don't think.
Nope. Plenty of wind, though.
Yeah. I thought they said this morning possibility of drizzle turning into snow this afternoon.
Flurries.
Flurries, maybe. Yeah.
Ask our expert weatherman over there.
Flurries, no accumulation.
Well, all I know is the state, once or twice a week, they've gone out and spread that liquid stuff on the bridges and stuff. I don't know how many times they've spread that already this year. So I told my boy, I says, as long as they keep spreading it, it's not going to we're not going to have ice or whatever. But one of these days they won't, and then we'll have it or whatever. So, but I know they've done that 5 or 6 times up there on 41 already.
Just all that extra money the state has.
State ad tech.
Yeah, I just keep.
I think we're probably safe until Terry starts calving. Then we'll get snow.
Then we'll get snow.
100%.
It's 9:14 on the
crop. Down. All done already.
Did we get a bid? Good.
Until we're in Nebraska.
Can I turn a bid in too? If there's only one.
Real time.
You've got 1 minute.
1 minute. Yeah,
even
still 9:14 on the clock. We have 9:15. Are you going to put a bid in then, or?
Well, I thought about it. There's only one.
Yeah, we can spend a little bit.
No, you can't know that there's only one when you put the bid in.
Well, it wouldn't be a very good bid either, but at least there'd be another bid.
Oh, you can put a bid in if you want it. That's up to you. Still 9:14 on the clock.
I've already got one.
Just be safe. The details.
Anybody want any more chocolates? Matt, you weren't here. Did you get some of these? This is from Joel Nelson and Joe Bacon.
He was here.
Is that from the boys?
That's from the Joels, yes.
That's the most expensive chocolate you'll ever eat.
Chocolate cost is.
Well, you'll see on the next claim.
Okay, we have 9:15 on the clock. I'll entertain a motion to close
accept, reject, or award bids for the Simline crack sealer.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Hill. Vote 7-0. Now we'll open them, I guess. We have one bid.
Terry?
Throw it down to Terry.
Highway?
He's our bid reader.
Didn't we just get a new crack?
It is roads.
This is the we purchased a used one this spring, late winter.
A new one.
Okay, and this is the old one that we don't use anymore. So it says sealed bid for a 211 crack sealer. The City of Wyomore bids $4,701 on the 2011 Trimline crack sealer, Randy Cole.
I guess I should put a bid in.
Yeah. So it looks like they've got a crack sealer.
Well, now we need to approve that.
Oh, okay.
I'll move to approve it.
Second.
Motion by Hill to approve the bid of the $4,700 bid for the crack sealer to the City of Wyomore. Second by Juergens. Discussion?
Are we going to put that on auction?
That is something we could have a discussion. We at the time, we hadn't talked about it. At the time, I'll just say this. At the time, they offered to buy this at about twice of what they bid here. Stuff so mm-hmm. Right.
Wyomore
did.
Yeah, I thought we had that discussion, and then we decided we were going to put it on auction. I thought after
we had
basically to. Not knowing what the value that's and that they lowballed you.
That was trade in value that they were going to pay before $8,300.
What they had offered or possibly offered was around 10.
So I would propose this. This is the City of Wyomore. Yeah. So they're going to use taxpayers' money that's already been used to buy this once before. If they can get it at a good price and it saves that community some money. I mean, because if we go outside and if they need that, then they're going to have to go back and, you know, double or triple dip the taxpayers. It's staying within a public agency. I don't have any heartache on it.
They get this price, maybe they can afford their own law enforcement and we don't have to send the sheriff down there.
There you go.
Well, but in all seriousness, there are some struggles down there.
We had some discussion about it earlier with them, or they had discussion with us about possibly purchasing this, and then through a discussion with our legal counsel, determined that we needed to really put this out for bids.
Well, and the thing about it is, anytime, I mean, they took a chance on that bid because somebody else, they didn't know anybody was going to bid. So, I mean, that's this, whenever you do it by bidding, it's the fairest way to do it. I mean, now, you can always no sell it, but it's sitting there getting cobwebs, down at Galen's plant. So
no, I don't.
Oh, no, I understand
an issue
what you're
with the
saying.
Bid. I just thought we were putting it on. I thought we were putting it on the item or the
Purple Wave
auction.
Purple Wave
auction. And the other thought is why do they even need a crack sealer? Why do they even want the expensive one? Why don't they just call up the county and contract the county to do their crack sealing for them? I mean, if they're needing to save money, that would make a hell of a lot more sense.
They could actually hire it out cheaper than they could.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, even if they just put it out for bids.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we're really doing them a favor by selling them a cheap, old, worn-out piece of equipment.
You proposing that a public body go into a maintenance mode and not necessarily have all the capital expense and the equipment themselves support private industry?
Huh. Yes, I am.
That's an interesting concept.
Any more discussion? We do have a motion and a second to approve the bid to the City of Wyomore for $4,701.
I would say the same thing. The price isn't very good, but it is going to a public body. If in our county, too, I mean, it is.
Yep. Yeah, it's not like it's some other public entity we're maybe helping or whatever. This is a city in our county, and they apparently have a need for it, or that's the route they've decided to go, and that's the decision they made. We
we put it out. And I'll just say this, that we maybe had the conversation at the time, maybe we had it whether or not to bid it or put it on the Purple Wave. I don't remember, but we decided to go this route and advertise it for bids. So
if it was going out of county, I'd vote no on it.
Yeah. I'd make a motion to accept the bid.
We already have a motion and a second. We're just having, yeah, we're just having a conversation.
But, thanks for paying attention.
Terry. Where am I?
If no more discussion, vote. Six in favor with Lytle voting no. So approved. Now our next time event at 9:30, so we will skip down to approve or disapprove the review and the signing of the 2018 community-based juvenile services grant. And now, have you up here?
Okay. Oh wow,
Christina. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm Christina Lyons. Have been before this board several times regarding the juvenile services. This is money that is allotted to us every year based upon our juvenile population. This year we received a little bit of an increase, a little over $3,000. And what you got probably was a very rough draft, but I think it was enough of a draft to give you an idea of what I'm asking for. The top four, the Juvenile Diversion Coalition Administration, 4-H and Enrichment Programs, as well as training, are all part of my job that I do, divided into parts and pieces equally. In any one day, I can do all four of those jobs. So the other part that we asked for, the large sum, the $28,000, was the truancy program. We still have student staff advocates in Beatrice Public Schools, as well as we're serving about 60 kids there right now. And we also have a family advocate that we work with, works with the families. We're serving about four families with that right now. So we have some room for growth with that, but I have a person who helps me with that and meets with families and helps to try to figure out why these kids continue to miss school even after Roger has filed.
Can I interrupt? We had the issue yesterday with a young man who has been truant in the past who ran away from Pataclean School, and then the law enforcement had to finally catch him. Is he part of your program, or have
no,
they communicated with you?
This program will only serve kids 11 to 18. So,
and he's 10.
And he is below the threshold.
Okay. Well, that just the first thing that hit me in the face yesterday. Our law enforcement people were all over the area looking for him.
Yeah. And what a safety risk for that young man and for...
Yes.
Yeah.
Try to get on the back of a semi-trailer downtown.
Yeah. So if there was a way, I would love to serve younger kids, but right now for this grant, only 11 to 14, okay. Or 11 to 18.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you,
no,
but
that's
that
okay.
Immediately smashed me one.
The other service is the $5,000 that I put in there for a tracker, alternatives to detention. That's so we as the county don't have to pay money to have a kid housed, if at all possible. Now, there are some kids that absolutely need to be housed in detention, and that is a big price tag item. But if we can keep them here in the community, that money is for that. Last year, we spent a little over $8,000 in alternatives to detention. Restorative Justice, that's a new program. I just did a webinar on it yesterday, but they are trying to do some victim offender conferencing and before kids get to the legal system, so in juvenile diversion, before they even get to juvenile diversion. I'm not sure how this will work, but we have it in there for that. The last item is the Hope Squads, and that is something that's happening in Beatrice Middle School right now and Beatrice High School next year. We have a portion of that curriculum that we are responsible for as a county or as a school, and I just put it in the county thing because it fits our criteria and our community-based plan for suicide prevention.
The middle school kids are nominated by their peers, people who would they would go to, talk to if they were having a problem, a concern, and those kids are trained to help kids, get kids to adults, to professionals, because most of the time if a kid is suicidal, they will tell a peer, and the peer will never tell another adult. And so we're giving this a try. It is an evidence-based program, and it's modeled after a program in Utah. Several schools throughout the United States are trying it, and Beatrice Public Schools thought it was something that they should try at least. So any questions? That's the grant in a nutshell.
This is an application for the grant. This right. is not that it's been awarded or anything.
There are usually this money has been allotted to Gage County.
Okay.
And so as long as it falls within their guidelines, which I think everything does because it's evidence-based, I might have to come back with some contingencies or something, but usually in the spring it's approved.
This isn't a matching grant from us. This is basically you just put something through to us, and we say, yes, you're going to administer this for the county. And,
right.
But that's what you've come and presented each year.
Yeah.
Now, last year, did I hear you say you got $3,000? I thought it was a lot larger sum. Did you say that when we?
Oh, there was an increase of $3,000.
Increase. I was going to say, yes. I thought this was because this is somewhere around in the
74,798.
And is there an increase this year again, or that
no.
was the increase
last year was 71,000 something.
Okay.
So about a little over a $3,000 increase.
But,
the match share is money that it's 8,300, a little over 8,300. It's money that's already spent in the county by the juvenile courts. I think I wrote in there guardians ad litem this year. And so money that the court has to spend anyway. With that service, we use this match.
$3,000 increase, Christina, is that just an inflationary type dollar, or is that because we have an issue that they...
I think, I'm not really sure to answer the question shortly. In a long answer, I think it's because a lot of the other counties in the state are not using this money, and so they're dropping it down to counties that are. Now, next... probably March, April sometime, I'll be back to talk about the three-year community plan, the community-based plan. We meet on that almost quarterly, and so if there's any of you who want to come to those meetings, you're certainly welcome. I think the next meeting is January 12th, and we have to have it done by June something, but we'll to be eligible for this grant, but... So we'll be working on that in the spring.
Be sure to let us know the dates and times on where those are.
I can.
These grants and this program is absolutely fantastic. And if you work at all with young people in this county, we've had suicides, we've had issues that are so important for us to work with these kids. So keep it up. Thank you very much.
I would just note on the restorative justice, and that's something that's new that's coming up from Lincoln. Lancaster County, Douglas County have been doing this for a couple of years, so of course it's good for all of us. And we've been doing the same thing down here, maybe not formally, but through the Victims' Rights Officer, through our office, working with Christina on diversion to try to, you know, have the youthful offenders that damage other people's property get some restitution. Then the Supreme Court, in all its wisdom, decides that, I shouldn't have said that. Anyhow, they decide that we have to prove that somebody can make, they can afford restitution before we can ask for it.
And there's all sorts of touchy-feely things that go with it, too.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's kind of like we all need to get together on this, because they do need to learn that they are hurting people that work hard for their money and that buy things, and they shouldn't be out there damaging them. And that's something that, through the diversion program, Christina's very good with. The other issues of truancy, I think once we get these programs up and, you know, they're running, but we got to get them hooked in. I just had a young man that's got 2 months before he's 18. Birthday, he was in court yesterday. He could care less. And so, you know, he'll be out there in two months, and he'll quit school. And unfortunately,
that's
probably the last time I'll see him in juvenile court, but unfortunately it won't be the last time I see him in court. And these programs help try to avoid that. So they're good programs, and Christina does a great job at administering them for us.
Thank you, Christina. We don't have a motion to approve and sign it, do we?
Approve or disapprove?
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Bauman, second by Lytle.
Yeah, that's fine.
I know that both of us. Oh,
Lytle and team.
So Lytle.
Well, I heard Bauman make the motion and then Lytle. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't hear that far away for Eric. So.
What?
Vote 7-0 in favor. Thank you. You need this one signed too yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
she.
Can get a copy.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, Christina.
And it's 9:31 on the clock, so we have a timed event here at 9:30 for a public hearing. Entertain a motion to enter into a public hearing at 9:31 on the clock to hear support and opposition for the appointment of Nate Claybaugh, Grant Jones, and Dave Norton for a 6-year term on the Board of Trustees of the Hospital Authority No. 1, term commencing October 1st, 2017, and terminating September 30th, 2023.
I would move we go into public hearing.
Second.
A motion by Beyer, second by Lytle. Vote. 7-0 in favor.
I notice we're ahead of the game on this one. It started October 1st.
Well, this is when the paperwork came to us or whatever, so this is something, maybe Rogers, this is something that comes in front of this board to approve those appointments.
Yeah. Are we ready to go out of closed or open session?
Well, we have to decide first if there's anybody here for the public hearing.
Oh.
Don't look like it, does it?
So they have to submit names to us as far as
okay, and if there's nobody here for the public hearing, we will entertain a motion to close the public hearing at 9:32 on the clock.
I move to close.
Second.
Motion by Beyer, second by Bauman.
Hill.
Oh, Hill. Second by Hill. Vote. 6 in favor with Bauman voting no.
I was this close.
I would move to approve appointing members of the Board of Trustees, Hospital Authority No. 1, for the term of October 1st, 2017, to September 30th, 2023.
Second.
Motion by Beyer, second by Hill, and this is to appoint Nate Claybaugh, Grant Jones, and Dave Norton. And Don handed me a sheet of paper here where they did do a petition and everything, and this is...
That's all part of their
process. Well, we need to place this on file, too, though, that this was for the this motion, and it had 29 signatures, had 29 total signatures. 28 were good, and then one didn't pass the test or whatever.
In the public hearing.
So this was
good.
This was to be evidence in the public hearing, but we will at this time enter this as evidence.
Now, this comes to us because of that. It's not borrowing authority, but...
No, well, basically it's a check and balance in the whole system with the hospital. They have to go through this group. Once they go through with their accountants and attorneys to set up their bonding procedure, and then this group basically reviews it and grants authority for it.
Right.
Where do these names come from for us? That comes from the other trustees or...
I think that's probably.
That it? Oh gosh, dang it! Yeah.
But basically, they're volunteers, citizens that agree to, and it's
to serve on that board and oversee those, make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing out there. Now, I did talk to Nelson the other night at the event out there a little bit about this, and he was wondering, and it's not. This is more for appointing the three people to that. But some of the government entities, if they've had bonds that are renewing here now, because of the probability that the Senate and the House will pass that tax bill, there is
they've been looking at this. There may be some advantage to refinancing some of those bonds. So, and I don't know if they've looked at this or not and stuff. But I do know, I think it was up in Lincoln, maybe the city or the county or something up there was refinancing some bonds they had in the paper because of the fact that then some of these bonds, they have government assistance from the federal government to pay down the rate. And some of those are what they're looking at to refinance, but I don't see that as them doing this right now. But some of them are trying to get ahead of the game and not lose some of that public assistance, because in the new tax bill, there are some of those things in there that they could lose some of that public assistance for the rates.
But the people that we're recommending to appoint here have knowledge of those types of things and work with finance and are very, very good at that. So I think these are good additions to the board.
You bet. Any more discussion? If not, vote 7-0 in favor.
Just on the outside of that, with those potential programs for bonds, is that something we need to look at?
I don't think we have any bonds that we have government assistance in paying down the rate.
There's nothing that we could get on assistance.
So. No, So there are certain entities, and just reading the paper, kind of glanced through the article, and I don't remember, the city of Lincoln or who it was. I think I can't remember for sure. They were looking at it because, or maybe it was someplace in Lincoln, they had government assistance to pay down the rate, and in the new tax proposal, that would be gone. So they would lose that assistance in the future years paying off their bond.
I didn't know if you meant there was additional that...
No. And when I talked to Nelson the other night, I asked him about that, and he wasn't sure either or whatever, so I don't even know if they've looked at it or whatever, but this was on our agenda when it came out Friday.
And they did refinance here about a year ago because the rates had dropped, and it paid them to refinance, even though there's an expense on that. So
because the article in the paper, there wasn't that much of an advantage to refinance other than the fact that you basically had the same rate, but you were kind of locking in so that public assistance wasn't gone or something. I don't remember what they had to do. I'm not a financial person like Denny would be here and understand that type of stuff. So, but I'll agree, these guys here are very good at that and stuff, and they would be a tremendous help. So we have a timed event at 9:45, so we're waiting just a little bit for the ceremonies here a little bit later. So it's only 9:38 on the clock yet, so we have to wait 7 minutes. So no, we have a clock down here, Leonard, so that we normally time you with. No, I know. So I don't. Do you see anything else there on the agenda that you can come up and talk if you want to, Leonard? But other than that, we have to wait.
Work you guys over another day when you got a regular meeting. I'll be back.
Then you will be.
Yeah. See how reckless you're spending my tax dollars.
Yes. I'm still waiting for Ruthie, Marley, and Kate to get here, Lenhart, so just be quiet until they get here.
Can't interfere now.
That's right.
No, we have about 6 or 7 minutes, so we'll just, I guess, basically go into recess or what. Yeah, we'll take a short recess until 9:45 on the clock. So,
did we have that?
Ready?
It's going to take a while.
We will call the meeting back to order at 9:45 on the clock, and we have another timed event, Veterans Honors, and we'll have Phil come up and do some introductions.
All right, good morning. This morning's a little different. We got two veterans we're going to be honoring, one from World War II and one from Vietnam. First one we'll introduce is Lenhart Fritzen. Lenhart was in the United States Army from March 17th of 1945 to July 4th of 1946. He received the Asiatic Pacific Campaign Medal, World War II Victory Medal, and others. The other veteran that we have today is Gordon Corky Reimer. He was inducted into the United States Army on December 12th, 1965, and was discharged December 12th, 1967. 6 days short of 50 years, of course. He received the National Defense Service Medal, Vietnam Service Medal, Vietnam Campaign Medal, and others. And he is here with his family, along with Lenhart and his family. I'd like to take this time to introduce them and thank them for their service.
I'd like to invite you to come up and
come. Yep.
Tell us a little bit about your business.
Whoever wants to come first, if you'd like to come up and say a few words and make some comments or however you want to and stuff. So,
well, it's a little different than when I come here otherwise.
Yeah.
So I ain't going to work you guys over today. So, I'm gonna give you a little bit of my journey in the service. I was fortunate that it's on the tail end. And we'll leave out the bad stuff. I won't talk much about the bad. I'll give you most of the nice information, a little bit of what happened. So we'll go from there. Well, bingo, I've become 18 years old. So then you had to go register. Okay, I went to register. So then my papers come back, and I says, well, I wonder what classification I'm in. 1A, report for physical. All in, everything was in, all together, you know. Okay, physical. Bingo. Report for induction into the Army. And, well, away we went. I got inducted. Then when we got our induction, I says, I want to go to the Navy. They had a little room for some Navy guys. And I says, if you're in the Navy, at least you're in a dry bed till you go down. And so about four guys ahead, here they said, this is it. The rest of you guys go to the infantry. So away to the infantry training I went. Didn't get my Navy. And that kind of tough going, that infantry training. We started out with 222. We ended up with 168 guys on it. So it's kind of tough. Then, well, got done with the training, went home for a few days, and then I had to go back and report again, you know, to the camp that was in Oklahoma. And so gets on the train in Wymoor. They had the trains in Wymoor yet, you know, at that time. Get on the train in Wymoor. Man, he was a rough driver. Tough flying back and forth. I flew into a seat, and they didn't have seat belts. Didn't know what that was, you know. And broke a tooth. And then I got to the rail station, and I went running with my duffel bag. I knew where the train was leaving from. So I just seen the tail end of it, just leaving. Well, so I had to wait till the next day to catch another train, and I knew I was late. So, okay, here's the next day. I report on into the captain. Here the captain, he says, soldier, you're AWOL. We'll court-martial you. Oh, no, he says, it don't matter. Your butt's going overseas anyhow. So that was it on that. And then we went. Fort Ord is where it was. We was on a troop train. It took about 3 days. Went to Fort Ord, and then we got our equipment and stuff, what we needed, and our so forth, and then I'll never forget going up the gangplank. There's 12,220 soldiers aboard that ship, plus, you know, so in a pretty good size. And going up the gangplank, what do you know? Here they play Sentimental Journey. Going there, and I says, oh boy. So whenever I hear that song, I always got to think of walking up the gangplank, I guess. And we had a pretty good, we had real good escorts, I call it, when we went over. You had the ships on the side, one ahead and what have you. There's out of ways. There's a few times that a Jap torpedo ship got, and then you go to zigzagging back and forth, but we never got hit or never got attacked or anything, so that was fine. So then we get to Manila, Philippines. That's her destination, Luzon Island. Get over there. Well, see, the all them ships that was in the harbor, we couldn't even go. We had to go out a long ways, then go on the landing boats to get ashore because all them sunken ships. I was talking to somebody here a while back, being over there, and I says, are they getting all of them ships out there? And he says a lot of them is being salvaged. You know, there's a lot of iron there. So, but that all went good and what have you. And so then over there, well, we done made some camps and we done a lot of prison guard for the Jap prisons. And then some of our own too, far as that goes. And the prisoners over there, them guys, I don't know how many thousand there was in that big place what we had there. And they done their own discipline. They done their own cooking. They done everything on their own. All we had was a barbed wire around the outside and the gate in the front. And then delivered rations and, of course, their rice eaters. I mean, but they done everything. And they done real good. I mean, as far as discipline, once in a while they're probably getting a scrap to haul out a few dead ones that, you know, didn't get along with each other. But if they was good. And you could get three through one guard. And when I went up there, we always had some detail work in the camp where we sat. And I'd go up there and I always looked them over pretty good. You could tell. You could read their eyes. If you had one, you really had a watch, you know. So you take them out, and most of them was glad the war was over like everybody else. There's always a few of them that diehards or whatever you want to call them, you know. And but you watch that, and you always kept a shell in the chamber. No problem. And but seen hunger over there. You know, we talk about hunger. We don't know what hunger is in this country. We don't have any hunger as far as I'm concerned. I haven't seen anything that looks like hunger. When we got over there first, I could never get over them little kids. All them little kids. Of course, they didn't wear no clothes till they got about a little bit older. I don't know just what age. You couldn't tell their age. They might look younger, but they might be older. And then they wore a G-string. Same way with all the kids. But I went there, you know, got there, and I looked around. And here they's playing in the buffalo water hole, mud hole, you know. They just as happy as could be. They was little, but they all had a little watermelon. And that's hunger, you know. But they was happy as could be. Then up on our camp up north, I always got to think about that lady. They come out of the jungles, and she would sit on the edge of our camp and our tent where we had our eating, you know. And she would wait. And then when everything was done and everybody's out of there, she had a stick and then two cherry cans, I call them, they was, one over the shoulder. Then she'd go to what we dumped in the garbage can, and then she'd dip that out and take it back to the jungle. And so, I mean, it kind of it makes you think, you know, when you look around here, we talk about hunger, but there is no hunger here in this country. Or they don't know what hunger is, I guess. And we didn't have too much trouble. We had some Japs coming out of the jungle at night. they didn't know the war was over yet or anything. And they'd fly through the tents. They'd always try and get one guy. We didn't have no light in our tents or anything, but it seemed like they could get along. And they'd come flying through there. Then the one morning there, I looked and I had my old duffel bag sitting by my cot. I was next to the entrance of the deal. I looked at it. Here, there's a knife sitting in my duffel bag. I says, oh my golly, how lucky I was that he missed me. And, but otherwise, you know, they was, and later on, there was 5 years later, I read in the paper, we dropped a lot of pamphlets over there that the war's over in the jungle. But 5 years later, there were still some Japs coming out, didn't know the war was over. And so, well, that's about enough of that stuff. So then we went to, I forget just what month, what day it was. Then we went and loaded up, and then we come to Oahu Island from the Philippines. And went over there, and of course it's completely different than what it is now. And it was, to me, it was kind of a waste of time that I was putting in over there. I mean, you was more or less spending time before you go home is about what it amounted to. About all I done, can you imagine some detail work? We was at Wheeler Field. I was attached to the Air Force there at that time. And can you imagine got some detail work. Fall out. Okay. What are you going to do? Oh, he says, we got to go over to Schofield Barracks. We got to go over there. The lieutenants and them, they all had their deals over there. They're complaining the slot machines ain't paying them out enough. So I went with the guy, and at that time everything was springs, you know. I watched him, but they wouldn't be that today anyhow. He had adjust some springs so they paid out a little more money. They could adjust them. and then a little bit of painting and what have you, but it was a waste of time as far as I was concerned. Then, okay, here we go to Fort Ord again, go and get discharged. And we got our discharge and our stuff and what we got. So here, me and another guy, I forget where he's from, we didn't have to walk too far, probably a half a mile from where we got discharged to the main road. So we got up to the main road, and holy Toledo, what do you know? Here there was a convertible sitting. There's a blonde and a brunette sitting in it. And we looked at each other. We looked at each other and we says, no thanks, because they knew we had $300 in our pocket, and about 2 miles down the road we'd get rolled, you know. So we knew better. So then you had to hitchhike everything that time to get to the rail station. And so then got to rail station, and finally then I ended up in Lincoln. And folks was there waiting. Then, that was the 4th of July when we got discharged there. Then I got home. Then a friend of mine back home, he calls and he says, hey, he says, what do you got going tonight? Oh, I says, nothing much. He says, I've got a date and I can't make it. Will you take her? And I says, yeah. I says, yeah, I'll take her. So that happened to be my wife, Helen, later on. and so, okay, here met her, blind date, didn't know her. Then we went together a couple of years, and then we decided, well, we thought we'd get married, so we got married. And would you believe that Next February, we'll be married. The 11th of February, we'll be married 70 years.
Wow. You're and, awful lucky. I'm not sure about her. But. Huh?
Well, no comments from the audience. But anyhow, so the 11th of February, you guys is all invited to come to the Virginia Legion Hall, and bar will be open. I might have missed a bunch of stuff, but I thought you guys got a lot of business to do today, too, so I thought I'd shut off.
Lenhart, we really appreciate you coming up and talking. This board really appreciates hearing some of the stories that some of our veterans have, because they're priceless.
I could go on and on, but you leave the bad stuff behind you. I mean, that's always better.
We have a little something for you that Terry's going to present. If anybody wants to take pictures, you're sure more than welcome to take pictures or whatever. And Terry will turn around and turn around that way over there.
Everybody on the board, of course, knows Lenhart.
Yeah.
So, Lenhart, on behalf of the county, I would like to give you these tokens of our appreciation for your service. Thank you very much, sir.
Terry, turn that way so they can take a picture there. There you go.
Oh, what do you got, a little moonshine in this pack? Maybe. Okay. Thanks a lot, you guys. Yes.
Thank you.
I'll make a meeting later on sometime again.
Okay, right. We'll be ready. And Gordon? Yes. Please.
My name is Gordon Reimer, Corky Reimer. I was in Vietnam for a year and 8 days. I just want everybody to remember the 58,000 that never came home. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
Mark, it's an honor and a privilege. Give you these small tokens of appreciation from the county. Thank you. As a supervisor and as a friend, I've known Cork for over 25 years now, and I've got advice on everything from buying a car to dating. And Cork's always stood behind his convictions and been led by a good moral compass. So I'm really proud to be able to give this to you, and we appreciate your service to the country and your community yet today. You built a business and raised a family here and made us really proud here in Gage County. So thank you, Cork. Thank you.
Thank you.
My wife, Jenny. Hey. That's Casey, my son. That's Brian, my son.
And thank both of you for being a part of this. We really appreciate it. It's something that... we as a board are very, very thankful to do this, to honor some of our veterans in the county. And I know there a month or two ago we had maybe a month that we didn't do it because we ran out of names. But we really appreciate everybody coming forward and doing this and letting us honor you for the service you've done to our country. So we appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Yep.
I've got one thing that I never introduced. This is my offspring. That's Stanley, Britton, his missus, Denise. Here's her daughter, Susan. Here's her daughter, Bev. Here's her son, Dwayne. Well, here's the cook, the other half. Keep me alive. Thanks.
Good. Thank you. Thank you very much, Leonard. And our meeting for the part of our agenda, except for a closed session. That's the only thing we have on here yet. We have a litigation update.
that the board will have a closed session on.
Did we have a son who wanted to say something? I think you stood up. You don't want to?
No.
Okay. Because I could go into all sorts of stuff, but I won't get into it.
Thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate that and stuff. Thank you, Phil, and everything. So at 10:06 on the clock, I'll entertain a motion to go into a closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Vote 7-0. But I'm going to take a little break here first.
How you doing?
Well, hey. Okay.
Okay.
We're on. Okay. 11:24 on the clock. Entertain a motion to come out of closed session.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman, seconded by Thiemann. Vote 6-0 in favor with Juergens now gone.
Move to adjourn. Second.
It's off.